I'd like to thank Josh for bringing that reading to us this evening. And as you all know, Andrew is from your own congregation here, third-year theological student. Sometimes we wonder about the theological bit. And it's good to be able to say that we are a mature student. But you know, it is good to be along this evening and to bring God's word. It is no easy task, and we come with the help of the Lord. And perhaps before we do look into God's word this evening, we'll just bow in prayer. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, and we thank you for all that has already taken place in this place. Lord, we thank you that thus far that your name has been lifted high above all. And Lord, we pray that as we come to look into the scriptures, Lord, we pray that you would open them before us. Lord, you know the frailty of my own hands, my own mind, my own life. Lord, I am but a weak vessel. But Lord, I pray that you would take these lips of clay and that this evening that you would use them for your honor and glory. Lord, I pray that you would take the words of my mouth. Lord, that you would take me and hide me far behind the cross, that none may be seen save Christ, that in all things honour and glory would be given to your name alone, and that we would see the glory of your only begotten Son. So, Lord, come and present yourself amongst us. Just we commit this meeting to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to take for my text this evening the 25th verse of Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 and the 25th verse reads, "And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there for them he made for them a statute. And an ordinance, and there he proved them." And as Joshua has already spoken, I thought he was going to preach my message for me tonight. He has brought a bit of insight into our passage. We have seen the children of Israel, and they have been led out of the promised land. The Lord has brought them through the Red Sea. And as they crossed the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army came behind, the Lord brought in the waters upon them. And the Lord destroyed before them those that would seek to do them harm. And we have seen that they gathered together with one voice and one accord to praise the Lord as Moses led them in song. And they praised the Lord and thanked him for their deliverance. We have read the song of Miriam and again how she praised the Lord. And you know, it's great to see the Lord's hand at work. It's great to see the Lord lead and guide and direct. But you know how quickly the scene changes. How quickly the scene changes. For through this glorious work that the Lord had committed, we see the children of Israel led out into the desert by his servant Moses. And very soon, they find themselves without water. And as they come to this place known as Marah, for the waters were bitter. I'm sure as they've seen this vast expanse of water lie before them that they were delighted, that their souls were thrilled, that their hearts were uplifted. After 3 days in the desert heat and sun, here they come to a place where they can find refreshing. But you know, as they tasted the waters, they found that the waters were bitter. But you know, the end of our verse tells us that it was here that the Lord proved them. And you know, very often we take a look at situations and circumstances and we blame the devil. But here the Lord proved them. The Lord sometimes has to test us. And sometimes he has to take us to those bitter waters to test us. But not only to test us, but to prove himself to us. But here we find this people and they come to the waters. And tonight we want to look at a people provided for. They come to the waters, and as they drink, no satisfaction could be found. And so they go to the one who has led them out, God's man who has went before them, who has led them out of the land. And they go to him and they start to murmur and to complain. The Lord cried, and Moses, we read, cried unto the Lord. What would Moses do as the people complained? He could do none other but to go to his God. And Moses went to the Lord and he prayed for help. It says, as we have already said, and he cried unto the Lord. This was the Lord God who had spoken to him through the burning bush. This was the Lord God who had equipped him to go before Pharaoh. This was the Lord God who had brought the plagues upon the land of Egypt. And he went to this God, his God, in confidence and in strength, seeking an answer for the problem. And brothers and sisters, how often trials come in around us. How often we find ourselves in difficult situations. And tell me this, what do we do? Do we do like this people? And do we start to murmur and complain? Or do we do like the man of God, the one who knew the Lord of all creation? And do we go to our God in prayer? We think of the words of David in Psalm 34 and verse 6. And David found in his distress, and he says, this poor man cried. And praise the Lord, he heard him. Peter to the believers, remind us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And again we're reminded in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. And you know, as I consider this verse in Hebrews, and I consider the cry of Moses for an answer to the situation, for an answer to how this people would find water that they could drink, I thought of the Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary's tree and how he cried out, I thirst. He was one that was tempted in all points like as we are. And like the people found themselves in this wilderness, cried out for want of nourishment, so the one who created the water cried out, I thirst. But we want to see that the Lord provided a way. We read in our verse again, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. The Lord showed him a tree. Moses sought the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry. And the Lord provided the solution to the problem. This tree, the word that is used here, is translated from the Hebrew also as a piece of wood or a branch. But we want to notice that this tree, in whatever form, was revealed to him by the Lord. You know, we're not exactly told where Moses found this tree. It may have been that with the murmuring of the people that he wandered from the camp to be alone with God, to seek solitude and spend time with his God. It may be that perhaps, as we're led to believe by the historians, that this area around Marah was filled with a certain type of tree. They tell us that this tree that was found in the area was poisonous and especially to cattle, so it would have killed them. So it may have been that this tree was in plain view. It was right before the people. Yet, it of itself could be of no help to the people as they looked upon it. It may have been staring them right in the face, but yet they did not realize that God could take this tree and use it. And how often we, when we are in need of help, the Lord will come and He will provide an answer. It may be in an unusual way, perhaps through a passage of Scripture which we're not expecting to find an answer in. Perhaps it will be a word from someone, or an incident completely out of the blue. It may be that the answer is right before us if we would only ask the Lord. But we cannot see it on our own. We want to think of the provision accepted and applied. Moses could have told the Lord that this would never work. How can we use this tree? It's poisonous. It's not going to work. That is no solution to my problem. That is no solution to the situation which we find ourselves in. Because it did not make sense in his own eyes. On the other hand, he could have agreed. He could have trusted the Lord that by showing him the tree, that this would be enough. Yes, Lord, I believe that by taking this tree, that you can use this tree to make the waters sweet. And by faith, looking at this tree, Lord, I want you to make these waters sweet. But you know, the Lord gave him a direct command. Neither of these would have solved the problem. Moses had to follow the Lord's instructions. And perhaps the Lord will show us a way. And in our own stubbornness, we will say, Lord, that will not work. Or we will say in our hearts, this makes no sense at all. You know, there's no point asking the Lord to show us the way. There's no point asking the Lord to direct us and help us when we have a problem, if we are not prepared to accept the answer which He gives. If we are not prepared to follow the instructions which He lays before us. I think of two very well-known verses in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. I'm sure most here tonight can quote them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. If we fail to trust the Lord and to follow Him, how shall we expect for Him to direct our paths? Proverbs 16 verse 9 reminds us that a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. We must always follow the Lord's leading and guiding, and not our own hearts. We must always apply the instruction given in order to see the result. Again, in the book of Proverbs, in the 23rd chapter, in the 12th verse, we read the words, apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Brethren and sisters, we need to follow the Lord's leading and guiding. But I want to look at the pleasures enjoyed. Tell me, what could be more pleasant to the thirsty soul than refreshing water? As Moses took this tree, as he followed the Lord's instructions, and as he cast it into the waters, we read that the water was not just made drinkable. Oh, that would have been more sufficient for this people. Oh, how delighted they would have been with that. But you know, as we see in our text, we read, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And you know, as we follow the Lord and seek his leading and guiding, if we obey him, the waters will not be made just drinkable, but they will be made sweet. Oh, the Lord will bless us abundantly, more than we can ask or think. What peace we enjoy when we know that our God is in control of every situation. And when we hear his speaking voice to our souls, is it not like these refreshing waters in a barren place? Does it not come to us fresh? And do we not long for more? But we need to be careful and realize that God's answer or plan may not always be that which we wish or which we desire. Yes, the Lord can make the water sweet. And the Lord did make the water sweet at this time for these people. But the Lord has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And brethren and sisters, if we seek the Lord and we understand his will and we know his voice speaking to us, the answer may not initially be sweet and our pleasing. The Lord will lead us through difficult times. But thank and praise the Lord, the outcome will be sweet. It may not be in our time, but the Lord's ways are perfect. And when we place our problems into his hands, he will work out all for his praise and for his honour and for his glory. With this in mind, we must always remember that it was not the tree in our passage that made the water sweet, because it in itself was only a piece of wood. And you know, as we perhaps sit under the ministry of our pastor and we're finding difficult things difficult and we get a word from the Lord, we thank and praise our pastor for that word, but we must always remember that he is God's servant and that it is God's word that he is delivering. And as these people saw the miracle which God done, the tree was the instrument that was used. That all glory and praise and honour would be brought to his name, and that he would be exalted above all else. And there he proved to himself that he was the God who was in control. And he will prove to each one of us that he is in control. But you know, as I considered this passage, I could not get away from another scene to which my mind was brought. And I think of wicked and cruel men wandering, as it were, in a desert place, seeking satisfaction, but filled with bitterness against God and against his Son, the one who left the Father's side in glory, the one who took on flesh and was born as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, who lived a sinless life and sought to teach men and women the way of salvation, and yet they sought to destroy him. Yet they sought some way to trip him up and some way to take his life. Isaiah tells us that he was despised and rejected, that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was bruised and beaten more than any man. His back was lashed and left like a ploughed field. His beard was plucked from his lovely face, and he was spat upon. He was scorned, and he was mocked. And they beat a crown of thorns into his precious brow. And why? And why? So that he could save a sinful and a vile and a wretched people from their sin. I think of a tree that was set on the side of Mount Calvary's hill, where the sinless Son of God was crucified by sinful men full of bitterness. Where the Lord of all glory had his precious side pierced and his precious blood flowed freely down, poured out for vile, wretched sinners. I think of how darkness covered the earth as his Father poured out the wrath of all the sins of mankind upon him. Your sins and my sins. How he suffered and died in that place for each one of us. And yet, they mocked and they scorned. We thought this morning, Nathan brought us to us about two thieves, two malefactors, one on the left and one on the right. And he reminded us how one saw Christ, the Son of God. And even with all the sin in his life, he sought repentance. And we're reminded how the Lord promised him, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." But friend, we remember the one on the other side. And how he saw the same signs and wonders. And yet he rejected Christ. Tell me this, friend, tonight. Have you rejected Christ? The one who suffered in your place. The one who bore the punishment of your sin. Or perhaps you're sitting saying, "Oh, it's all right, you know. I was told that Jesus died for all, and through his death that we're all going to be all right. It's all going to work out for us. That God will not punish us. Perhaps we'll be punished for a while in purgatory, but you know, ultimately God is going to accept us all into heaven." My friend, do not be deceived tonight. For if we were all to be received into heaven, then God would not be a just judge. He is a God who cannot look upon wickedness and evil. We think of the rich man and Lazarus, and we think of the words of Luke chapter 16 and verse 22. "And it came to pass that the beggar died, that being Lazarus, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus sitting in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am in torments in this flame." Friend, tonight, Perhaps you're saying, I don't care if I go to hell, for there I'll be with my friends. Oh friend, do not make that mistake tonight. For we see this man in hell, and he was not partying with his friends, but he was in torment. We have considered the waters of Marah, and all this man wanted was one drop of water to quench his thirst. My friend, if you're taken out into a lost eternity this evening, you will spend all eternity there, where there will be darkness and gnashing of teeth, where there will be no sweet water to satisfy that thirst. As we think of how Moses had to accept God's way to make the bitter water sweet, it reminds me of John chapter 3 and verse 16, and I'm sure the youngest child here tonight could quote it. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, tonight, will you not put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Will you not turn to him and repent of your sins? Will you not put your trust tonight in the only one who can cleanse you and make you clean through his precious death on Calvary's cross, through that once only sacrifice, that sinners may come and find peace? John 14 and verse 6, we read, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. Friend, you cannot get there on your own good works. Perhaps you're saying, well, you know, I don't mock the Lord. I go to my church. I say my prayers. I read my Bible. Friend, tonight you must realize that Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation. That all your good works will not get you into heaven. You need to put your trust in him. We think of the words of Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. And we think of those words there. And it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, tonight, will you not call upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you not trust him? Those who drank the waters of Marah were satisfied. But you know, they were only satisfied for a time. Because that first drink wasn't enough. They had to go back and drink again and drink again. And you know, the pleasures of this world will only satisfy your thirst for a time. You may seek enjoyment in all the pleasures that this world can give, but they can never satisfy that thirsting in your soul. John chapter 4 and verse 14. The Lord reminds us, after speaking to the woman at the well, he told her that he knew all about her sins. And she went back and she told the people. But the Lord says to that woman, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Friend, tonight, are you searching for those sweet waters Those waters which can satisfy your deepest need and longing. Friend, tonight come and put your trust in the only one who can give you that living water. The only one that can cleanse you and make you clean. I just want to finish with a verse from Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. And there we read, "O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Friend, tonight, just come as you are. Come as a vile, wretched sinner. And pour your all before the Lord. Seek Him for forgiveness. And place your life in His hands. And He will give you of that sweet water which only can satisfy your soul.
We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing the hymn 221. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. We'll sing verses 1 and 2, and we'll stand to sing, and then we'll conclude our meeting with a word of prayer. 221, verses 1 and 2. Water that we find in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what He said that day to the woman at the well. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I give unto him shall never thirst again. And we thank you for the satisfaction, the provision, Lord, that has been made in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, if we would come and taste of those waters, taste of His salvation, Lord, we'll be satisfied. Our sin debt will be paid, and Lord, we'll go home to be in glory. Lord, keep your hand upon every one of us. Lord, we pray you'll not let anyone leave the house of God tonight still in their sin, still thirsting for those sweet waters. But Lord, bring everyone to the fountain, Lord, that they may never thirst again. Lord, keep your hand upon us until the next time we would gather together. For thy honor and thy glory, we pray these things. Amen.